creation of the universe, did not tire him, and strengthening of his creatures did not weaken. On account of his power, he rules over the universe, and on account of his supreme knowledge, he knows all the secrets of nature. Because of his might, his domain prevails over every place and everything. Nothing can remain out of his control or refuse to accept his commands. Nobody can pass beyond the bounds of his authority and jurisdiction. He does not need any richer or mightier being to support or maintain him. Everything in nature is submissive and obedient to his commands. No one in the universe can dare think of running away beyond the limits of his domain. Nothing can dispense with his bounties or can be indifferent to his authority. He has no peer and no equal. He can destroy things created by him in such a way that they will cease to exist and disappear into non-entity. To annihilate the total universe after having once created it is not more amazing and difficult for him than the original creation out of nothing. If all the animate and inanimate creatures join their forces to create a mosquito, they shall not succeed to do so. They will not even know how to do it. They will be confused over the problem and will confess their helplessness. Similar will be their helplessness if they want to exterminate a thing out of the universe. Only those who have fully understood the latest theory of antiphysics can grasp the meaning hidden in these sentences. Verily, after bringing the universe to an end, he will exist alone, as he existed before he created all things. Again, there will be no time and no space. Years, days and hours will disappear. So the earth, suns, moons and galaxies, all shall vanish into nothingness. Only he, the mighty Lord of creation and destruction, the grand architect and the supreme annihilator, shall remain. It was beyond the power of the universe to come into existence of its own accord, and it shall be beyond its power to prevent its own decay and destruction. If it had power to remain immortal, then each one of his creatures would have achieved immortality. When he wished to create a thing, he never felt any difficulty in doing so, nor the work left him exhausted. He did not create the universe to make his domain strong, or to stop the decline of his glory and might, or to get help and support against a powerful enemy, or to extend the boundaries of his kingdom, or to satisfy his vanity, or to do away with his loneliness. He will not annihilate it because he got tired in looking after it, or maintaining it, or he was worried with its constant demands on his resourcefulness, or he wanted rest, relaxation, and leisure, or it was a burden on his mind, or its long age was worrying or annoying him. But the creation of the universe was an act of grace on his part. It was created on account of his grace, maintained by his power, and was retained for eons through his might. After annihilating it, he may recreate it, not because he will be in need of its existence, help or company, neither to increase his knowledge with experiments and trials, nor to increase his wealth and power, nor to convert his humbleness into glory. Like the original creation, the annihilation and the recreation will be acts of grace. Sermon 192. In this sermon, Imam Ali has given the Muslims an idea of conditions through which a society has often to pass, and how a pious man should behave under such provocating circumstances. Oh, how I love, respect, and venerate those persons who are better known in paradise than on the earth. Remember that constant disappointments may be in your lot of life. Society may be disrupted. Those amongst you who are at a low mental and moral level, fools and knaves, may come into power. Those will be the days when a faithful Muslim will find it easier to get himself harmed and injured than to earn an honest penny. When men will amass wealth by dishonest means and will give charity to earn fame and popularity, their philanthropic actions and desire to serve humanity will be all devoid of sincerity, and they will not be rewarded in paradise for these apparent good deeds. When virtuous and scrupulous people will be forced to seek aid and to beg, and the divine reward of the beggar will be more than that of the giver, as they will have to choose between dishonest earnings and begging, and will be obliged to select the humbler way of life, in which they will not be compelled to harm other human beings. Those will be the days when you will be intoxicated, not with wine, but with wealth and luxury. Men you will call Allah to witness, untruthfully and unnecessarily, just to gain to paltry profits, and you will do it without being forced to it. Then misfortunes will severely prosecute and oppress you. Oh, how long will be the period of these trials for you, and how difficult you will find to come out of them. O people, give up false hopes and do not give way to base desires, which are driving you towards vicious ways of life. Do not desert your imam, otherwise you will sadly repent it. Do not jump into the whirlpool of sin and vice created by the society. Avoid its ways and give it a wide berth. I swear by my own self that this is such a fire that it will burn up a faithful Muslim. But pagans and unbelievers will find themselves safe in it. They may even thrive. I am amongst you like a lamp in darkness. Those who desire may get the benefit from divine light. O people, listen to and remember my advice. Carefully pay attention to what I say, so that you may fully understand it. Sermon 193. In this sermon, Imam Ali has advised Muslims to fear Allah and look around themselves and realize how kind, benevolent and merciful He has been to us, and how often He forgave our shortcomings and sins. Imam Ali warns us not to forget death, the ultimate end of life. O people, I advise you to fear Allah and be thankful to Him for the bounties conferred upon you, blessings bestowed on you, favors shown to you, as well as for the trials through which He has made you pass. Do you realize how he has been kind to you? How he reversed favor for you, and how has showered his blessings upon you, upon human beings? You have been living in sin, but he concealed your blemishes and drew a curtain over your vices. Your deeds severely deserved punishment, but he did not punish you immediately and gave you time to repent and to try to undo the evil you have done. I advise you to remember death and be less forgetful of it. I do not know why you forget and are so careless about a thing which does not overlook or forget you when your turn comes. Why do you expect laxity and negligence from a thing, death, which is going to be very prompt and sudden? Is it not enough for you to see people dying around you? Are not those people whom you see, hear, and talk with carried to their graves right before your eyes? They could not be helped being carried thus. They were lowered in their graves, and they could not be helped being thus lowered. They did not go there of their free will and did not enter the graves of their own accord. They so disappeared from this earth as if they had never been born, and as if their graves were their permanent habitats. They were forced to desert the place which they had made their native country, and were obliged to settle down at an abode which they so dreaded and feared. How carefully they planned and provided for a place which they had to leave, and how careless and unconcerned they were of the place which they had to occupy. When death once closed their eyes, there was neither a possibility for them to repent of their sins, nor a chance to do good. They were mad after this vicious world, which cheated them and deserted them. They relied upon it, and it forsook them. May Allah have mercy upon you. You should be quick in providing for the place where you are destined to settle down, towards which you are invited and which you were persuaded to like and prefer. Make the best use of His bounties and blessings by obeying Him sincerely and faithfully, because tomorrow is not far off from today. So far as your span of life is concerned, do you not realize how fast hours pass away in a day, how quickly days move in a month, and how rapidly months merge in a year, and how simply years fly? Sermon 194. This apparently is not the whole sermon. Some passages are lost. Therefore, the four paragraphs appear to be disconnected. In this sermon, Imam Ali has referred to the kinds of minds so far as faith is concerned, and also to the principle of hijrah, migration in the cause of Allah, in this sermon. He has drawn our attention towards his vast knowledge. There are two kinds of faiths. One is the kind where a man has come to a conclusion and sincerely and firmly believes in it. This is an undamageable faith. The other variety is of wavering and vacillating nature, where no faith or conviction gets a firm hold of mind. Therefore, if you are annoyed and disgusted with a person because of the evil you find in him, do not come to immediate conclusion, But wait and see. He may improve himself. If he continues to carry on an evil life to his last day, then of course he deserves your abhorrence and hatred. Migration from one's home and country in the cause of Allah is as obligatory now as it was during the days of the Holy Prophet. So far as Allah is concerned, it does not make much difference if one accepts his religion, Islam, openly or secretly, unless a person recognizes the true Imam and follows him. The credit and the divine reward of Hijrah is lost to him. One who recognizes the true Imam and accepts and follows him and migrates as per Imam's instructions will merit blessings of Allah, to whom the message of Allah through the true Imam has reached. There is no excuse for not following the orders about migration. Verily, the true faith in us, the chosen descendants of the Holy Prophet, is not easy for an ordinary mind, and circumstances have rendered it more arduous and exciting. Only those persons who have been tested and tried by Allah could sincerely believe in us. Our wisdom and our teachings could only be understood by superior minds and sincere hearts. O people, ask me what you want to before you lose me, before I die. For verily, I know as much and even more about the universe, the galaxies and their evolutions, and the heavens and its blessings, as about this earth. Ask me when there is still peace, and before the rebellion and disorder overwhelms you, and schism and heresy totally darken your mind. It will be a terrible disorder. It will completely upset the society and will make people lose their sanity. Sermon 195. In this sermon, after praising Allah and the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali advises man to adopt piety as the principle of his life. He teaches human beings how to be ready for death and informs them as to the stages through which one has to pass between death and the Day of Judgment, and also the qualifications to deserve the paradise and the shortcoming which will take one to hell. I glorify Allah for His blessings and bounties upon me. I seek His help to perform the duties imposed by Him. He is the Lord of powerful army, and His dignity is grand. I testify that Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, is His trusted servant and chosen messenger. He invited people to obey Allah. He fought against and defeated the enemies of Allah. And when people united against Him to defy and falsify Him and to put obstructions in the way of Islam, He, in spite of their powerful opposition, carried on His mission successfully. It is incumbent upon you to be pious, for piety is the most noble and exalted way of life and the strongest tie between man and Allah. Do your duty towards man and towards your Creator before death or serious illness makes it impossible for you to do so. Be prepared to face death with the help of your good deeds. Be ready to depart before the order reaches you. Remember that ultimate goal for every human being is the Day of Judgment, and knowledge of this fact is a lesson for a wise person and a warning for an unwise one. Do you know that every one of us will have to cross from the day of death to the day of judgment? There is a dark and narrow grave, the suffering of the barzakh, purgatory, the total disconnection of those whom we love and who love us, and the helplessness of our condition. Fear Allah, O creatures of Allah. Verily, the world is not going to change its attitude towards you. It will treat you as it has treated those who have passed away before you. Remember that you and your day of judgment are strongly bound together. No one can escape that day. Every one of you shall have to face it. It has made itself evident, and it has given incontestable and unmistakable proof of its effects and its approach in everyone's life. You are on your way to this goal. It is hovering over your head. It cannot ever be too late for you to realize that life has actually relinquished its possession over you and has surrendered you to the power and influence of death. Imagine the life that you have lived to be a day, or at the most a month, that has passed never to come back. Its novelties have become stale and worse for age. Its richness has disappeared. It is handing you over to a narrow and dark grave. A grave is such a place that it may lead you, if your faith and deeds deserve such treatment, to hell, which is unimaginably hot. Though hell is so hot that its heat cannot be imagined. Though the fire is roaring hungrily, yet the place is totally dark and dreadful. There, the blazing fire is so fierce that it cannot be extinguished. Its depth cannot be measured. Innumerable whirlpools and eddies are forming in it, making the place extremely dreadful and horrible. The very same grave may lead certain persons to paradise. They will be protected from the hell and its tortures. They will enjoy the pleasures of paradise. They will be pleased and thankful for the place allotted to them. Who will be there? They will be pious persons, persons who have led a blameless life. They were honest and sympathetic. Fear of Allah was always in their minds. Condition of the poor always made them sad and depressed. They had turned their nights into days and had kept awake praying and liberating over the duties laid upon them by Allah. They had converted their days into nights by shunning the society of wicked people, by avoiding rich and worldly persons, and by moving among the dark and mean dwellings of the poor, trying to find the ways and means to help them. Allah has rewarded them for their good deeds. He has awarded them with His blessings in paradise, a place of lasting bliss under His eternal domain. Therefore, O people, do such deeds as will be of help and benefit to you in the next world, and avoid such deeds as will be injurious to you there. Take an account of your life. Revise your views, improve your mental outlook, rectify your deeds, amend your ways, and do all this before death catches you unawares. Imagine that death is staring you in the face And after this very moment, no time will be left for you to repent, to reform, or to undo the evil that you have done in life. May Allah keep us on the path of the Holy Prophet and give us courage to follow him faithfully and sincerely. May Allah have mercy on us. May he pardon us. Remain where you are, Kufa. Bear the sufferings boldly and patiently. Do not get excited, and do not give vent to your feelings, and do not let these feelings rouse you to cause bloodshed and war. Verily, death in a battlefield in the cause of Allah is martyrdom, but for a man who sincerely believes in Allah and has faith in the Holy Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, progeny. Death in his house and in his bed is also martyrdom. He will receive the reward of a martyr. He will deserve it. His sincere desire to serve the cause of Islam or to die serving the cause is as good as the deed itself. Remember that Allah has fixed a time for everything, and the time for you to take up your swords has not yet come. Sermon 196. In most of his sermons, Imam Ali has advised people to adopt piety as the basic principle of life and not to attach undue importance to worldly pleasures. This sermon is a typical specimen of this theme, starting as usual with the praise of Allah. He explained his might and power, his justice and mercy, and his compassions and kindness towards his creatures. Imam Ali then throws light on the purpose of creation. After praising Allah, he has spoken about the Holy Prophet, explaining how and at what opportune moment his messenger has benefited mankind with his teachings. Then advising mankind to adopt piety as the basic principle of life, he says that piety is a duty laid down upon man. He counsels man to seek the help of Allah to lead a pious life, and to seek the help of piety to gain his blessings. He says that piety was advised to every nation by various prophets, that man will fully realize its benefits when he will be called upon to account for the use of power, wealth, and position granted to him. It is the best shield against vices and sins, and will help him to develop a noble character. He further advises people not to underrate pious persons and not to be overawed with worldly wealth, prosperity, power, and status. Speaking about the world and everything connected with it, he advises men not to be lured by its glitters, as everything which glitters is not gold. The praises offered here are misleading and insincere, and its wealth and power are subject to quick decay. This world is a faithless liar and will always suddenly desert those whom it has succeeded to elude. It is a place where bloodshed, devastation, and annihilation will always rule. Piety and piety alone will keep you out of its harmful and deadly clutches. Glory to Allah in the highest, to whom everything in nature offers its praise, whose might prevails upon everything and controls every aspect of nature, and whose glory predominates everywhere. I praise Him for His constant blessings and great favors. He is so forgiving and merciful that He overlooks many of our shortcomings and pardons many of our sins. His decisions and ordinances are based on equity and justice. He knows what has passed and what is going to pass. He gave origin to the universe, an invention and an origination, and made it work according to His desire. The plan and program for all of it came out of His supreme knowledge. He neither followed anybody's advice or design, nor was necessitated to learn anything from anyone. Neither had He models of any architect before Him, nor did He once waver in His plans, nor did He commit any mistake.